And we will endeavor to understand what has passed and imagine what is to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Now, here is your host, Millennial Woes.
Okay, and welcome back to Millennial. This is Millennial 2025. This is the first interview, and it is with the Traditional Britain Group. I have Gregory Lauder-Frost here, but Andrew Moffat just seems to have dropped out momentarily. I'm sure he'll be back. Technical problems. It's always like this every year. The first and most important thing is, can people let me know if they can hear me okay? I'm using a different microphone this year, so these teething problems always emerge. So, Gregory, welcome back to Millennial. And could you tell me what kind... Well, I'll just get Andrew back in. Hello, Andrew. Okay, so we'll begin. And Gregory, how would you summarize 2025 as a year? I would say it's been an extremely eventful year, but mostly in America, not so much in Britain. What are your general impressions?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say the Traditional Britain Group is the name encapsulates what we believe in. And it doesn't mean traditionally joining in American wars. The American, as you know, started this business in the Ukraine. Now they're trying to get out of it. So that's interesting. They piled billions of dollars worth of military equipment into the Ukraine, and now they're trying to get out, probably because they've run out of money. They're borrowing even more than we are. So that's a continuing development this year. That's continued on from last year and the year before, but it's still going on, and the BBC and all the other media outlets continue with their Russophobia. Everything's to do with Russia, as though Russia's remotely interested in our tiny little island. It's beyond comprehension and belief. And so the TBG, I mean, we plod on. We continue with our influencing. We have, as you know, about six different Facebook channels. And we reach about 5 million people a month, and we are letting them know what's going on. We're letting them know the truth. Of course, the establishment hate the truth. They don't want our people to know the truth. And probably that's why we're going to see a dramatic change in the situation at the next general election. I just think there hasn't been a lot of actual change in the last year. I mean, the woke agenda has continued unabated. School teachers are being sacked for saying the wrong thing, even being put on registers that they can't have anything to do with children. When they've just spoken the truth. I noticed the other day that one had been sacked for saying that telling his pupils that Britain was a Christian kingdom. So the battle goes on. Maybe Andrew would like to add something.
Yeah, Andrew, welcome. And your general impressions of 2025 as a year?
Well, it's been another wasted year for Britain, another wasted year for our culture, for our heritage, for our traditions, all of which are under. And of all is the attack and the dissolution of free speech. We were probably the leaders in terms of free speech around the civilized world. And yet we have none in our own country now. It's it's got to such a degree that even President Trump and his administration has aired this matter publicly. What happens? Nothing happens, of course, because as Gregory observed, the left, to which this country is now entirely captured, is against free speech. There is people even in the right anymore, but even in the centre, if we don't accord with their opinions and their views, no one knows what they can say because the laws are so opaque. There is no clear definition. If someone complains to the police that they've been insulted, then of course the thought police come along, and even Hemi Badenoch in the Conservative Party, the leader of the Conservative Party, she has raised this matter, so obvious as has it become. But we all know very well that these problems started with the Conservative Party, so there's no chance they're going to do anything about it. Of course, in opposition, they do what they always do. They go into their cupboard and they get the Union flag out and they dust it and they give it around government. It's more of the same. It's the conservation of what the socialists have done before them, and it's more oppressive laws. And this is what this country has become. It's become an oppressive nation, an oppressive government with a sort of state police security force. And I don't have to condemn all policemen, because many of them are very decent types. But there is a political wing in the police force which is oppressing its own people. It's quite extraordinary that you can go to prison now for 2 or 3 years for saying something inconsiderate, and yet rapists and other violent criminals get out for free for a very limited jail term. You couldn't make any of this up. It's a sort of Orwellian creation combined with this could have been predicted even 20 years ago, leave alone 50 years ago. So, in summary, it's been a bad year, another bad year of demographic change and of the continuation of the Great Replacement, which is being done for globalize the nation state and ultimately to extirpate those nation states.
Gregory, do you want to chime in here?
Well, I think I concur with everything that Andrew has said. And I think, you know, we have seen immigration unabated, talk, and no real action. We need to see remigration, which all the European countries are now talking about. We need to see proper remigration, not the Labour Party saying that they sent back 200. It needs to be more like 2 million. I mean, we are in a shocking state. We have the government saying that there's a housing shortage. There wouldn't be a housing shortage if we didn't have 12 million people here who should not be here. This is not their natural homeland. They should not be here. And we have a situation. We have a situation where these people are so arrogant and so cheeky, and this has been assisted by the government. You've only got to look at the vast list of organizations and so-called charities the government actually gives money to. These charities are all on the left. Rest assured, the government aren't giving any money to charities on the right. They're not giving. Look, every time we hear people on the BBC, they're from some left-wing activist organization. They never, ever interview anyone from the traditional right, ever. Never, ever. And so all we hear is a continual stream of left-wing rhetoric about every single subject. It's amazing how, after completely doctoring all of President Trump's speeches that were made when he lost the previous election, they doctored it so that it sounded like he wanted everyone to riot and commit violent acts, which was completely untrue. And yet, no heads rolled. We had a couple of resignations, probably overdue resignations. But we still have, for instance, the chairman of the BBC, who is unsurprisingly an Indian or a Bangladeshi, and his brother is the head of the BBC News. We are in a shocking situation in this country. And I know Andrew doesn't like reform, but we have to be realistic. The situation that we're facing at the moment, reform is the only credible option. Because, as the polls tell us, they stand a chance at the next general election of overturning the tired, old, left-wing parties that have done this to us. And look, the Conservative Party are left-wing. They are a liberal party, and the Liberals were the original left. We must not allow a party that's led by a Nigerian to try and tell us about immigration. It is monstrous. It is monstrous. And then we have even people in reform saying, oh, yes, we're going to get rid of all the illegals. What about the so-called legals? I mean, these people just turn up here and stay here and hang around, mill around for 5 years, and then the government gives them civic citizenship, which is an abomination. This is a problem. They should be looking into these people. They should be saying, why are you here? Why were you here in the first place? This is not your natural homeland. You can't just come here because you want a better life. I mean, that'd mean we'd be open to billions of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's as if the government is looking for ways to bring more people here all the time. And
it's
so,
a scandal.
I mean, obviously one big story this year from Britain was the Afghan asylum debacle, a scandal. I don't know if either of you want to talk about that.
Well, anybody that invites Afghans into Western civilization is clearly deranged. I see this only this week that two of these Afghans have raped a 14-year-old girl, I think it was in Liverpool. I mean, what is wrong with the government? What is wrong with these people that they can't see the writing on the wall here? We don't have an obligation to anybody. Are they saying that every time they illegally invade a country like Iraq or Afghanistan as proxies of the United States and a few people on the ground assist them, for which doubtless they were paid, that they then say to all of these people, oh, yes, look, don't worry. This is going to be a big crap hole when we're finished. You can come and live in Britain, and you can bring all your family, not just your wife and children, but, you know, grandparents and God knows who. It's a scandal, and our people need to wake up and say this is unacceptable. And I pray that all of these old burnt out left-wing parties get swept out of the House of Commons at the next general election, and that we have a chance to save our nation and our country.
Absolutely. And Andrew, would you like to give your own perspective on this?
Yes. I mean, I look at reform with a jaundiced eye. They have a lot of ex-conservatives they've used hope not hate, which was a common communist organization in order to vet their own candidates. I mean, really and truly, you couldn't make this stuff up. The leaders are not prepared to recognize that the nation state, distinctive people that comprise it. So distinctive cultures come from distinctive peoples. That is a self-evident truth. Many people complain, of course, about mass immigration and the enormous financial burden it's placed upon society, but they identify the causes behind it, which really are quite nefarious and are designed, as I mentioned previously, to extirpate ultimately the nation state and to globalize it into a sort of global world of slum workers, where Western culture will have no priority over any other sort of culture. It's gone even further, is more extreme perhaps than that, because everyone is allowed, all comers are allowed to have pride in their flags, in their culture, in their ethnicity, and their background, but we're not. In our own ancestral homeland, we don't have any of those things. There's a sort of self-imposed shame and guilt that's been imposed upon us by academia, by the civil service, by the various equality organizations which wield enormous power. And that's all right for everyone else, but it's not all right for us. We're not allowed to have pride in our own flag. Some councils have condemned people who have flown their own flag from their own households. We're not. There's guilt imposed upon us and repealed all of this equality legislation, and we allowed the return of proper free speech so people can voice their minds and voice their opinions. And once the chains are off, then we will be unleashed again. And it'll be very interesting to see whether reform is prepared to do that. They talk about free speech, but in reality, are they prepared to repeal all of this welter of I very much doubt it. An organization that uses probably best its own candidates is clearly an organization that can't be trusted.
Well, Gregory, what would you say about that with regard to reform? Are you at the point where you don't really care about the problems with reform because you just see the situation as so desperate?
I like a lot of the things that reform are saying. And I think they're saying more than the other parties. The other parties are just talking all the time. They talk. The fake conservatives, they talk. And now the Labour Party are talking. If I hear Starmer or one of his gang on the wireless again saying, you know, we have a mandate to govern. Well, of course, they don't have a mandate to govern because 80% of the electorate either didn't vote or voted against them. So they don't, anybody with 20% doesn't have a mandate to govern. And the fact will remain that the greatest issue, the greatest catastrophe facing Great Britain is immigration. This is a really drastic problem. We have inquiries going on about grooming gangs, inquiries that the governments didn't want to commission. We have judiciary who vote against the government and in favor of immigrants on the most ridiculous pretext that you can possibly imagine. What are we still doing in the European Court of Human Rights? I thought Brexit meant getting out of Europe, not hanging on in certain quarters. We should not be in this bogus human rights organization, which is simply a tool of the left. Human rights is a French revolutionary idea. We're not French revolutionaries, we're British. And we should be fighting all this. And we need a party that's going to be radical. Only radical government will change anything. The Conservatives were in, what, 14 years? 14 years, and they didn't repeal any of the left-wing legislation which criminalized people up and down the country for speaking their minds. And only the other day it was revealed that the police in Britain are employing about 6,400 people, 6,400 people to check on people's emails, social media, and what we're all saying. Now, that to me, that sounds like a cross between the German, East German Stasi and the NKVD, the KGB. It doesn't sound like the Britain that I was brought up to know and love. This is not the way forward. And of course, the government will then say, oh, well, but you want us to dig out Muslim terrorists, Islamic terrorists. Well, the thing is, if you didn't have all these people in the country, you wouldn't be having to dig out anybody. But on top of that, of course, we do know that a lot of the people that they are putting through the courts very quietly, but doing it all the time, the left-wing media are not reporting them all, because obviously they're in favor. And they're jailing these people for saying impolitically correct things, and it's a total abuse of free speech. We either have free speech or we don't. We should be able to say, we don't want you in our country. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
After all, look at the colonies. The colonies said to us, we don't want you here. We want independence. We don't want you here. Get out. Mrs. Gandhi said, what are all these English civil servants still doing running the Indian civil service? You're all sacked. You must get out. Now, what is the matter with us? Just somebody tell me what is the matter with us. We should be able to run our own country ourselves. God knows we've done it for 2,000 years. We don't need alien cultures, alien religions, and totally alien people from other tribes in our tribal homeland. And that's what it's all about. Wars for the last sort of several thousand years have been fought over boundaries. They've been fought over each other's country. This is our country. This is our border. Okay, so what's wrong with us? Why aren't we fighting for our country, our borders, our homeland? I mean, it's no use them having Armistice Day celebrations and everybody going and saluting the flag and all this carry on, if in reality that spirit has vanished. The spirit of fighting
I remember seeing somebody tweeting in November. It was a photo of Keir Starmer and his deputies at a Remembrance Day ceremony, and someone had said a bunch of people who won't defend borders honoring people who did.
Yeah,
and I thought that was quite pithy.
For sure Who ever heard of a country that can't stop dinghies full of people coming into their country? I mean, what kind of country is that? What kind of country cannot do that? I mean, it's unbelievable. It is truly unbelievable. And as for all this carry on with the French, these people are coming from France in these small boats. I mean, the French, they need to be dealt with. Forget about some Russophobic nonsense about some Russian ship sailing over an undersea cable that we all know is there and they know is there and every other country know is there. The real problem is down here, you know, off the coast of Kent. And they need to be concentrating on the real issues, the issues that are affecting Britain today, not on some hypothetical Russophobic agenda that the British government and, of course, the Americans have. It's just ridiculous. Well, I think unless we grasp this, we're finished.
Yeah, I think it's increasingly absurd for Britain to even talk about being any kind of world power or global influence, and with the ruling the waves, the Royal Navy helping here and there, when we can't even or won't even defend our own border.
But it's a nonsense that we're a world power. It's a nonsense.
Yeah, it is at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what the point of having a navy if you don't defend your own, if you're allowing your own place, your own country to be invaded, then what's the point of exerting power abroad?
Like, more people have invaded Britain than the Germans, for instance, in the Second World War, ever considered shipping over here. I mean, that's the fundamental statistical fact. And I mean, it's a complete nonsense that they keep talking every day. I listen to the wireless, I hear them talk, but nothing is being done. And that's the bottom line. Nothing substantive.
Yes, of course. But the danger, obviously, is that reform get in, sweep all these old parties away, and then are exactly the same as them. And so you have the cliche of meet the new boss and all that.
That is a danger. That is a danger. But that's the danger of democracy. So, you know, we have to give a chance. I mean, our electoral system has made very sure that we don't give anyone a chance. But somehow, some way, reform are turning that over. Now, they have said that they will introduce proportional representation. If that is the case, that will most definitely be all the nails in the coffin for the old, tired out, worn out, traitorous old parties.
Yeah. Andrew, would you like to chime in here about reform and optimism for our government there?
Well, it could be a coalition with the Conservatives. It could even be an amalgamation with the Conservatives, because I think Farage is at base case a Conservative. But I will say this, there is a complete division between what the leadership of that organisation thinks, which is the party is owned basically by Farage and one or two of his lackeys. There's complete division between what they believe and what the rank and file believe.
We don't know
I've met
that.
Many of the rank and file men of the people who go out and I suspect they keep that genie in its box rather than allow it to express its opinions freely, and they do exactly the same to their own members. Unsurprisingly, if you know a little bit about the leadership, they do exactly the same thing to their own members as the government does to citizens. If they speak too vigorously about immigration, then they're out. That's the end of it. And I think the only decent person, any really good person that party produced in Parliament was Rupert Lowe. And look what happened to him. He attended the conference, reform conference just over a year ago. He made a very good talk, as I recall, about removing what the party had determined. And of course, he made a very big good speech. He made a speech, as I recall, better than Farage. And look what happened to him. He was drummed out of the party with all sorts of merciless accusations against him, but he's turned out probably to be the best MP in Parliament. He's asked thousands of questions. He's made very good use of his money, his parliamentary research money, and as for his salary, he's given it away to charity in Great Yarmouth. A very good example to follow, I would say. Now, Gregory mentioned, he mentioned, or perhaps you mentioned, the fallen during Remembrance Day, that very pithy comment. Well, there was, I forget his name, had a P in it, I think, a 101-year-old veteran, and he said, the freedoms that we were fighting for then were far beyond what we have left today. He said, we may as well not have bothered. That was that's what it amounted to. And it created national publicity and a chord of sympathy amongst down the length and breadth of the country, many of whom, of course, lost relations in both big disputes of the 20th century. I remember.
I think we're losing Andrew. I don't know what's going on there. Gregory, do you want to take this up?
His colleagues, as a small boy, they were all in their, getting on in their age. My father produced children very late to a mother much younger, been officers in some of the best regiments in this country, and they would be apoplectic with rage if they could see what had become
Gregory, can you take over here?
I hear what Andrew says, but it doesn't change my position. I think as for the grassroots of any party, how much the grassroots are listened to by the party is always problematic. And all the parties are very quick to kick out anybody who rocks their boat too much. Whether they're saying the right thing as far as we're concerned or not, is irrelevant. I hope that reform will give us a change. And I don't want to say anything about them that's negative, because I want people to vote for them. Unless you've got a party that's doing better than them in the polls. That's the thing. We've got to have change. So what we have to do is look at how we can get this change at the moment. It's no use saying, oh, I don't like this bloke or I don't like that bloke. Well, I could have given you a list of fake conservatives that I didn't like who were not remotely conservative. And I didn't like anything that they said, you know. And I think that we've got to go for change. We've got to go for change. Otherwise, we're sunk. So it doesn't matter about all the... I mean, look at the Conservative Party. 14 years they were in, they never changed any legislation. They never repealed any socialist legislation. Socialists. Now,
well, and it was them, like the Online Safety Act that's come into force now. That was actually cooked up under the Conservatives. I think a lot of people don't, they easily forget that. They think it's Starmer and Labour that did that.
And the 1986 Public Order Act, Conservatives, fake Conservatives. But all the other legislation is socialist. It was under Blair and Brown. And it's very serious legislation, if you have a look at it. It's once they've got you in their sights, the umbrella that's written into this legislation covers just about everything. It covers just about everything. Have we lost Andrew?
Yes, I think his internet connection might be a bit dodgy. It's unfortunate because he's obviously got interesting things to say, but it's quite difficult to make out. There does seem to be this general feeling that reform is, well, it's definitely going to be the next government. I'd be surprised if it's not. I think the only way that would happen is if there's a left-wing coalition, which would be the Lib Dems, Labour, and the Green Party. do you want to say anything about the Green Party?
The Green Party. Green on the outside, red on the inside. I mean, it's time we moved away from the left. The left have brought this country to its knees. Why would anyone vote for them? I do not understand. I don't understand why people vote for anyone on the left. And they talk about people like us being extremists. Well, what's more extreme than socialism? Huh? Look at all these new taxes they've brought in. Taxes on the farmers. They've increased in real terms income tax by freezing the personal allowances. Everywhere you look, we're taxed. We go to the petrol station, we fill up our cars with petrol, we're taxed. Then the government encouraged everybody to go electric, buy electric cars, and so lots of rather silly people have done this. And what do they discover? They discover that now the government's going to put a tax on them per mile, which is even worse than the petrol tax. So,
yeah.
We have a situation where we're very highly taxed. We've got a housing shortage because we've got 12 million uninvited people in our country. These people are clogging up the health service, the general practitioners, the schools, and more importantly, the water supply, the drainage, the sewage. Every week we hear about sewage problems, supplies with the sewage treatment plants packing up. We had one where I live. Now there's been another one down south in the home counties. Because these sewage plants can't handle an extra 12 million people using the sewer every single day, all day long.
Well, it's all sorts of infrastructure. I mean, it's everything.
But, I mean, these are important things that people don't think about. I think, anyway.
Yeah, of course. I think it's just generally evident that there are far too many people in the country. Our infrastructure wasn't designed for this, and it wasn't designed for these types of people who, for example, will go to the NHS, they'll go to A&E when they've stubbed their toe or something ridiculous like that. Yeah. So it just becomes endless sapping of, the largesse of the native British.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a problem. It's a big problem, and the welfare bill is a vast problem, and the numbers of immigrants of all types that are receiving welfare, which was designed for us, was designed for our people, to assist our people. It wasn't designed for the third world. Why should somebody be able to just turn up here and get absolutely everything for free plus benefits? I mean, they must be laughing. They're laughing, of course, at us. And we know that. And what is worse is this fifth column of charities who are funding all these appeals and court cases. These people have no money. And yet they turn up in courts that I couldn't afford to turn up in. And they get QCs and all kinds of terrific legal assistance to fight their cases against the British government, to fight their cases against our government, the government we supposedly put into the House of Commons. Now, it's...
Yeah.
They're foreigners, absolute 100% foreigners. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that?
I know. You get the sense of such utter corruption, like vast, vast corruption, because someone will come into the country and then we will pay for him to lobby our own government so that he can get even more out of us.
Yeah.
And it's just, you couldn't make it up. It's a surreal situation.
Yeah. And now we see the good people of Epping and other places turn around and say we don't want these people in our village or our town, and they even go to court to get a ruling that they want these people evicted from their environment, and they are told, the people of our nation, our people, are told that. That they have to keep these people there, the people whose representatives are molesting our 14-year-old children or raping them or whatever. And of course the charities and the lefties say, oh, well, it was just one person. Well, of course we know it's not just one person. Thousands and thousands of our young girls have been sexually assaulted and raped by aliens. And the government, I mean, it's like Christmas. Everywhere we go at Christmas now, we see barriers. Why are we seeing barriers? Because they're worried about the immigrant population, whatever particular nationality they might happen to be, driving vehicles into our crowds of our people and murdering them. Instead of dealing with the real issue, which is the people themselves, they should be saying, we want you to go home. We're going to introduce legislation which is going to be retrospective. It's going to remove your citizenship, and it'll be time for you to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Things
like the diversity barriers, it indicates that the whole thing about diversity is just becoming unsustainable. It can't be defended anymore. It can no longer pretend that it's all working fine.
But what does the word diversity mean? What does it mean in this context? It's a meaningless word.
Buzzword.
Tell me a non-Islamic person that is across Europe, including Britain, that has driven into crowds and crowds of people. One person that I know of in Liverpool, some nutter. All the rest have been Islamic. Now, according to the BBC, they all had mental health problems or some other stupid, idiotic excuse. Just not good enough. It's just not good enough, and the government sucking up to these people on a permanent basis and then turning around to us, the British people, and saying that the Islamic Home Secretary is going to help us on this. I mean, is that a joke?
Yeah, it's absurd. Andrew needs to give permission for StreamYard to use his audio, I think. That's why it's not... I can't add him back to the stage until he does that. Sorry, Andrew. But yeah, the it feels like a mirage is falling apart. And I think it started last year, I think, in August with the Southport. But this year as well, there have been multiple things, like protests, especially with the asylum hotels. And it just seems that people at this point are giving up on the idea that mass immigration is good for the country, and that people are all the same. I think that is slowly falling away now, where 5 years ago it was believed in like a religion.
When we went into the colonies, we discovered that we're not all the same. We accepted that we were not all the same. Now we're all the same. How has it changed? Nobody can tell me. What they tell you is you're racist. That's not an answer. They're just trying to close down the discussion. They're trying to close down the conversation. It's no use calling people racist every 5 minutes. Let's face the facts. That's what we've got to do. Ah. Do we have a returning
Andrew's back. Hello, Andrew. I was saying, and I put this to Gregory, that the mirage of diversity is starting to fall apart now because of the oversaturation of small towns and villages with the asylum hotels and so forth. Would you say that that's happening just now? I think you are maybe muted or something. I can't hear anything, Andrew. Oh, dear. No, I can't hear anything at all. Ah, dear. That's a shame. I really do think it's a shame because Andrew obviously has a lot of interesting things to say, but I think there are internet problems in his area. It's a shame. I guess I would ask you about the events of this year, and we've gone through several of them already. Do you think that this is something that I wonder about? Kemi Badenoch being the leader of the Conservative Party, do you think that that's? Do you think that they want to fail? Do you think that the Conservative Party don't want to get into government? Because I don't understand, why are they not getting rid of Kemi Badenoch? Because obviously she's kryptonite for Conservative voters.
Well, you might as well are. I mean, I don't know. I do not know whether these parties have death wishes. I mean, look at the Labour Party, their deputy prime minister. I mean, the man's a clown. And now you have, it's an embarrassment. I mean, it is a complete embarrassment. And now you have the Conservative Party, the oldest political party in Europe. And they can't find any of our people to lead them. Not one, right? 60 million people.
Yeah.
They can't find one to lead them. They had to invite a Nigerian to lead them. Now, what do you think that any party in Nigeria would have me as their leader, or you, or another European? Well, of course they wouldn't.
Not if in your views.
And it's a simple fact. To suggest to us that we're racist thinking like that when it's a simple staring you in the face fact. And these people aren't like us. They don't have our heritage. They don't have our culture. They can't look at things around the country and relate to them because it's impossible. How can it relate to them? How can they go and look at a castle and it relate to them? Of course, it doesn't have any relationship with them at all. How can they be taught about King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, or indeed our Christian heritage, which, the monarch, the king of the country, is also the head of the established Church of England. So how do they relate to any of this? Well, it's impossible. In fact, I would argue that it's impossible for them to relate to the monarchy. Because it is absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, these people are effectively tourists. They're tourists on an extended stay. And the country they're in cannot mean really anything to them except material wealth, material comfort. And so forth. But other than that, I just don't see how they can feel that they belong here. And I don't think they do feel. And I think a lot of them don't care about that either. But, liberals, our own liberals will agonize over this, that these poor people don't feel they belong. We haven't done enough for them and so forth. But there's always this ever-present fact of identity getting in the way.
You'll never do enough for them. Yeah, you're here. Andrew?
Yes, hello, Andrew. No, I can't hear anything, Andrew.
Yes, you can hear me now. I'm terribly sorry. I apologize to your viewers. There appears to be...
No, I think it's your internet connection, Andrew. I think it's too slow to handle the interplay here. There we go. It's coming 10 seconds later. Anyway, I'll ask you a question, Andrew, because one that I put to Gregory earlier. What I asked Gregory is, do you think that the mirage of diversity is starting to fall apart now, that the general public are starting to tire off it and see through it, or do you think they believe in it as fervently as they did 5 years ago, say? What would you think about that? No, it's not happening. Andrew, I'm sorry. I think this isn't going to work. So I'll have to just concentrate on Gregory. Okay, Gregory, let's move on. What would you say has changed this year compared to last year? Would you say that the Ukraine war, the Gaza, what about Nick Fuentes in America and Charlie Kirk? Would you have anything to say about these events? Because I think they've been major events. And also, of course, the murder of Irina Zarutska. I know these are American events, but do you see them affecting things in Britain at all?
Well, I thought the murder of Charlie Kirk was a tragedy. And he was probably murdered by the establishment. Too much rocking the boat there, and but I think that I mean the traditional Britain group are not particularly interested in anything that happens in the Middle East, I'll be honest, but I mean what we see is a situation where the 20th century immigrants to Palestine have murdered, raped, expelled the indigenous population who were living there before they ever came there, before the Jews ever came there from Egypt. I mean, when they came there to Canaan and Moab and all these places, there were people living there, working there, farming there, and the indigenous population were always there. I mean, okay, a lot of them adopted Mohammedism in the 7th or 8th century. That's not a crime to change religion. But it is a crime to take their land, to take their villages, to take their homes, and to murder them. And we are seeing a continuation of that over the last 75 years. And the Gaza war is just another chapter in this operation. How anybody can support Israel is completely beyond my comprehension. They are a rogue state. They caused the war with Iraq. They were responsible for that with their American partners. And we are, of course, dragged into it, which therefore does affect us. We don't believe we should have been there. We had no interest. And as we all know, there were no weapons of mass destruction. But Israel is a rogue state. They just randomly bomb all of their neighbors. They even started bombing Iran, which is a good distance from them. So I think, you know, we should condemn them out absolutely and say, you know, you're just idolists.
That's something that I think has really changed over the last 2.5, well, was it 20? Over the last several years. I can't remember whether it was 23 or 22 when it happened. But I think that Israel's standing in the world has just really suffered. They're attacking Iran, obviously the invasion of Gaza is just, it's so over the top, it's so obviously belligerent that it just seems incredible. And of course Syria as well, I don't really understand what's happened there, but it looks like some kind of hostile takeover. An infiltration, yes, of color revolution. So, I mean, all of this seems to paint Israel as a country that just cannot get along with any of its neighbors. It's very difficult for anyone to support that, just objectively.
Let me give you some examples that people seem to gloss over. There's been a big deal made about the couple of apparently Russian secret service agents came to Britain to eliminate an enemy of the Soviet state. And someone got caught in the crossfire and they died. That's very sad. But why is it any different for someone to come here and kill their enemies than it is for the Israelis to say, we know that one or two of our enemies are in Beirut or Damascus, so we're just going to go and drop a few shed loads of bombs on them, forget about all the people that live there and live all round about, oh, that's just collateral damage. Well, in the case, the Russian case, which of course is not proved, Unfortunately, a couple of one person died and another person nearly died who were totally innocent. But what about the hundreds of people that the Israelis regularly kill when they decide that somebody they don't like has moved to another country and they think, oh, we'll just go and bomb that country. And bad luck about all the civilians. I can't imagine it. It'd be like someone who was a wanted terrorist in Great Britain moving to Berlin and the British government saying, we're just going to send over half a dozen bombers and flatten the whole area around there to make sure we get him. And of course, we wouldn't do that. And so why do people think it's okay for the Jews to do that? I don't understand. Well, I can't work it out.
Yeah, of course. There does seem to be a bloodthirstiness. And it's not just what they do, but it's then how Jews internationally celebrate it.
Like
that thing with the pagers, the exploding pagers, which I think was just disgusting and monstrous, a dreadful thing to do. And And there were Jewish people all over the place celebrating it and mocking these people who'd lost hands and fingers and stuff. And it's just appalling, absolutely appalling. Again, I think this does nothing but damage for their PR globally.
Yeah. But they get away with it. They get away with it. Why do they get away with it? Because the United States backs them 100% in everything. And they play lip service to negotiations and to peace treaties and all this sort of thing. And they send an envoy over there so that they can say, oh, we sent an envoy over there and we're trying to help. It's all bollocks. It's just a smokescreen. It's garbage. The same thing continues. Nothing stops. You know, they just dress it up. It's disgraceful. If only we could get the Americans out of our business and out of Europe and out of European affairs, if we could get out of NATO and get out of these American proxy organizations. I mean, that Chancellor Mertz, whose corruption got him into the office, he makes some statement about the Ukraine war, and he does it in the presence and in the office of the head of NATO in Brussels. I mean, what is this? I mean, it's a scandal.
It is. It's disgraceful.
How is it that nobody can see this?
Well, it feels like there's a whole elite that is now just waiting to be swept away because it's so corrupt and so out of touch. Yeah. And propped up by America, and has been for decades. But hopefully that is now going to... I mean, I think Trump wants to dismantle all of this. I don't know if he'll be able to, but it does feel like this is reaching its end. It's a sort of inevitability about it now. And I hope so, because I think for decades, European countries have really been unable to have proper governance because it's just been placemen, bureaucrats in service to this agenda, this globalist agenda.
Correct. And I mean, look, now we have the Americans practicing international piracy in the Caribbean, which is international waters. Now, if I said to you that the Russians had just landed on an American tanker and they were going to take it into a Russian port, everyone would be outraged. They'd say, oh my God, this is shocking. This is going to be World War III. Oh, isn't this terrible? This is piracy, blah, 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 blah. But the Americans do it. It's all right when we do it. Well, it's not all right when you do it. And it's all wrong. And they just think might is right. And they do treat the whole world as an extension of their Wild West. And we need to get out of this. It's time people recognized all the damage they have done to Europe and to Britain since 1940. And we need to get out of NATO, and we need to tell the Americans to get out, 100% get out of our affairs. And we're not ever going to move forward unless we do that.
Yeah, I agree. I just wonder if there's a replacement elite ready and waiting who can take over. Because as I said, for decades, it's been the promotion of the mediocre.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like David Lammy. Please.
Well, indeed. That's almost a caricature.
All those women on the front bench in the Labour Party, I mean, it's an obscenity.
Yes. There just seems to be a sea of incompetence there. I wouldn't trust them to make a sandwich, let alone run the country. All right, well, I suppose we can wrap it up there. Unless there is anything else you'd want to say about the events of this year, about what kind of year this has been. Is there anything else that springs to mind about that?
Well, I can't, apart from the continuing war in the Ukraine, which I think everybody should stay out of. This is a Slav family quarrel. Don't get involved. Keep out, keep away. This is an argument between separatists and the old country that they belong to in the past. And people say, oh, it's just like, you know, what about the Baltic states? They'll be next. No, they won't be next, because the Baltic peoples are not Slavs. They are completely different. And they've got their independence in the proper way, not through separatism. It was guaranteed to them by the Bolsheviks, and it was guaranteed to them by the Western allies. That wasn't the case with the separatists in the Ukraine. And it's people do not understand the complexities of this war in the Ukraine. And we should stay right out of it. It's not a black and white matter. It's not one country invading another. It's far more complex than that. And Britain needs to stay out. And all this business of freezing people's assets, it's a scandal. People put their money into our financial institutions, and they expect people to do the honorable thing. And, you know, we are not at war with Russia. And we have no right whatsoever in law to touch their financial investments, wherever they may be. You know, we might want to, but it'd be completely wrong. And it'd be like me saying, if I don't like you doing something, I'm going to somehow get hold of all your investments. I mean, what?
And bomb your pipeline.
An absolute scandal. It's an absolute scandal. So I don't think there's been significant changes between last year and this year. I mean, the Gaza conflict continues. The Russo-Ukraine conflicts continues. The woke continues. The lies continue. The talking continues. But no action. We're deeper and deeper in debt. The government continues to borrow vast sums of money. The welfare remains out of control. If somebody can tell me where there's been a dramatic change this year that's going to affect us all, but I'd like to hear about it.
All right. Okay, well, there was one super chat. Well, there are two. One of them is from Dardy, and he says, always enjoy the perspective of the TBG. Thank you very much. And he also says, the major positive of Reform winning the next election would be them ending the 100-plus-year Tory political project. It can't be much worse than Labour or, God forbid, the Green Party. That's a hopeful comment there about Reform. The 100-plus-year Tory political project, that's an interesting phrase. Would you have anything to say about that?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think the Conservative Party lost their way in the 20th century. They sort of hung on to tenets of it, but by the 1930s, they were clearly adrift, like a rowing boat without its oars. And then come 1945, they began to adopt liberalism, so that by the time we had Margaret Thatcher, who, contrary to popular imagination, was not a Tory, but a Manchester, a classic Manchester liberal. And she really did believe in liberalism. Everything revolved around a balance sheet. And to this day, we haven't really got past that. I mean, people have forgotten about service. There's no service today. And people have forgotten about that. You try and contact people, you can't speak to anybody, you speak to robots. You get led to websites that you can't interpret, that you don't know how to work. And the chances of you speaking to a real person are just about zero. So there's no service. And I believe that's an end result of liberalism. They're getting people off their payrolls, and they're introducing robots. They're introducing machines.
Yes, it's a strange thing that's happening. It's a strange future we're heading into.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
I don't think there's an agenda. I think they started losing their way this century. They failed to grapple with Lloyd George and his changes. They failed to support the House of Lords, and in doing that, they also failed to support the monarchy. If somebody can tell me that something that was really conservative, that the Conservative Party have done since, say, 1940, well, I'd like to hear it, because I can't see that they've done anything conservative. You know, tradition, yeah, culture, heritage, absolutely everything. When Enoch Powell spoke out about immigration, they sacked him. So
yeah,
this was a...
They've been terrible allies to anyone who actually was conservative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's going to happen is, as each year passes, all the old people down in Worthing and Brighton and all these places along the South Coast, they're all dying. And there's no new conservative voters coming forward that will vote for this party. That's where they failed. They failed to keep our faith going. They stopped all the... It was under the Conservatives as much as under the Labour Party that the exclusive right of our Christian ministers to go into the schools and teach and preach was stopped. It was under the Conservatives as much as the Labour that Christian religious education, when I went to school, was about Christianity. I mean, you didn't have enough time to learn all about Christianity in the time that we had. So you can imagine how much time they have now to be taught about Buddha and the Hindus and Mohammedism. So it means that they're actually learning virtually nothing, because they don't have sufficient time to grapple with all of it. Plus,
well, of
they
course.
Shouldn't be grappling with all of it, because we're a Christian kingdom. And so the Conservative Party, they have failed to conserve everything. And they can't argue their way out of this corner.
No. And I think it's just the end of the Conservative Party. I don't really see how it has... I mean, the only possible future would be a coalition government with Reform. But other than that, I think it's on its last legs.
Well, according
I don't
to the,
see how it can...
The last two or three polls that have been taken reckon that the Conservatives will be lucky to get 20 seats at the next election. Well, if that's the case, you won't need them in a coalition.
Well, indeed.
They'd be better off getting Ulster Unionists or even the dreadful Scottish National Party or someone in. I think they're going to take a ramming as well at the next election. So it's going to be an interesting election, I think. Bring
yeah,
it on.
Yeah, definitely. But it's unfortunately still three years away yet.
So,
but, yeah, I agree. Unless Keir Starmer decides to call. But I don't see why he would. That's the thing. We're kind of stuck with him. We're stuck with this whole situation because he doesn't need to do it. It's rather depressing. But anyway, Andrew has asked me to apologize to the viewers for his internet troubles. It's always, he's got a new computer and it's always like this. So my sympathies certainly go to Andrew. Hopefully next year it will be better. And he's comments that the Conservative Party has become a woke collection of spineless degenerates.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's got it.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I don't think many of my viewers would disagree with you on that. Okay. All right then. Well, let's leave it at that. This has been an interesting stream and lots of interesting points have been raised. So thank you very much. All right, I'll be back in half an hour with the next stream. I can't actually remember who it's with. I think it's Jay Yes, it's Jay Dyer. Okay, I'll be back then. But in the meantime, Gregory and Andrew from the Traditional Britain Group, thank you for taking part in Millennial 2025.
Pleasure. Have a happy and holy Christmas.
Thank you very much. I'll speak to you later.
Okay.
We hope you're enjoying Millennial. How about helping your tireless host? There are many ways to make a cash donation. Find all of these at millennial.com/donate. Millennial amounts to 3 months of work for the vile vlogger. Please help him to keep the fire burning.